Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 13, and this week we have three new guests. Well, one new guest. Let's do intros.
Hi, I'm Selena. I like TV.
Hi, I'm Brian from Los Angeles, and I also like TV.
Hey there, I'm Steve. I can't stand television. No, I also like TV and work in TV.
All right, and let's get on with the news this week. There's actually not a lot of news because we're in this weird...
hiatus time.
Well, it's hiatus sort of limbo between the end of the regular season and the beginning of the new season of summer shows. Yeah. So on the TV side, the only thing I have is that Starz is doing a new show called Camelot, which is supposed to be the retelling of the story of Camelot, obviously. Apparently they don't know that Merlin is on BBC... But it's kind of hopeful because they did a really good job with Spartacus, but I don't know how much more Camelot or story of Arthur I need. No giggling over there. And Joseph Fiennes got cast as Merlin. And that would, if I hadn't seen him perform so badly on Flash Forward, I would actually be excited. But maybe this character is more suited to him. And the next piece of news is that Cartoon Network is reviving Thundercats, which was from my childhood.
Sweet.
Right?
And
I love that cartoon.
Right. And it's Warner Brother Animation is doing it. So hopefully it won't. Because I went back and.
Warner Brother Animation.
They do a pretty good job. Because I just know that I went back and watched Thundercats the old school, and it looks so cheesy.
But are they going to take away all the homoeroticism? Because that was the fun part.
I didn't realize that until somebody mentioned it to me later.
I didn't realize it until I was an adult.
Yeah, right, you watch it again, you're like, oh my god, this is like Top Gun level of homoeroticism. Oh my god.
Absolutely hilarious.
Well, I have no idea what they're going
to
include in it, but, you know, we'll see.
That's something to watch.
It's volleyball.
I used to dream of like a He-Man Thundercat.
All right. Does anybody else have any news? Go.
Well, on my end, they announced recently that Supernatural on the CW is moving to Friday nights. It's once again going to be following Smallville. I'm pretty loud. So Supernatural is moving to Friday nights starting next season. Following Smallville for its sixth season, and Smallville's 10th. Wow. So, that's a new piece of news I have.
Well, other news on TNT, Leverage is coming back in a couple of weeks. And their premiere is on Sunday, June 20th, and from now on the show will be seen on Sunday nights. So that's a big change for Leverage.
Wasn't it on Tuesdays before?
I don't know, but it wasn't Sunday.
Okay. It was either Tuesday or Wednesday.
It's hard to remember when you have TiVo now.
Yeah, it's true.
But,
that's true.
You know, for people who want to watch it live, it's now on Sundays.
All right.
Steve, you got anything?
Yeah, I just wanted to briefly congratulate all my buddies over at Tosh.0. They just, I guess it was the summer premiere, they just came back with their highest ratings ever. So that show's doing really great.
Yay!
That was about it, though.
All right, well, like I said, it was kind of thin pickings on the news, so let's get into the shows, which are going to be completely different than we've done in a while because almost everything has had its finale, and this week we're going to be focusing more on the summer shows. But as I say this, the first show we're going to talk about is Glee. This week's episode, my first thought after I finished watching it, or actually in the middle of watching it, is that it felt particularly cruel. Because I understand that Schuster's kind of tired of Miss Sylvester, kind of, or Sue, you know, getting on his nerves and torturing him. But I really felt the whole being sexy around her so she's interested in him and then dumping her on her face was...
I didn't think that was particularly cruel, only because he was fighting fire with fire. And the thing is, at the end, he did feel very guilty about it, and he apologized. So he kind of redeemed himself, really, in that way. And Sue has such a thick skin, I kind of like seeing her being a little bit vulnerable.
That's true. I mean, it's rare to see her vulnerable. And what made me laugh, I don't know if anybody noticed this, but on the date that she got stood up for, she shows up in her tracksuit and, like, a string of pearls. I was like, the string of pearls lets you know it's a date, but she still got on the tracksuit.
But I thought it was a lot less, you know, pathetic than the time she thought she was going to hook up with that news anchor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because she got all dressed up in period piece and stuff.
She took dance classes. I mean, that was a whole big thing. It wasn't just, you know, putting on a set of pearls and showing up at a restaurant.
That's true. Yeah.
It was just different because we saw it from Will, who is usually so sweet and on the straight and narrow. So I think that's probably what, you know, made you think it was extra cruel. But in the end, even he felt it was too much. So
yeah,
I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, I. The other thing I noticed, the storyline, they finally kind of concluded the storyline with Rachel and her faux boyfriend, who we've all known from the very beginning was not really, you know, we all knew that he really wasn't interested in her. He always had an ulterior motive. So this week's episode where they show him surprise, reveal himself, and the whole egging scene where, you know, he has to show his loyalty to his team and Edgar. I really felt like I was supposed to care, you know, and I really didn't. Like, you know, he has this scene, because you're supposed to, I think the point was that you're supposed to wonder if he really does care about her and he's not going to do it. And I had no point did I really even wonder that.
Well, I think the problem with that one is that they tried to make him conflicted in a little bit, but he had such short scenes, it was hard to get that conflict across. Because, you know, he does say, you know, I really did love you and everything. But, you know, thinking back in the episodes, I didn't really see where he showed that. So I'm thinking some scenes were cut where, you know, the relationship had changed a little bit. Because you had scenes in previous episodes where he was like, you know, this started out as this thing. But then, you know, I started to have feelings for her. But we never really saw.
Yeah, he talked about it, but
yeah,
we never
really saw anything. So that's why it didn't feel genuine.
Right.
So I think it was just a matter of scenes being cut or just not written properly.
I'm going to lean towards the not written properly, actually, because I just don't think that relationship, or a lot of the relationships, have had problems like that.
I always thought that guy was a narc.
Yeah, well, the relationship I did
he
like...
He looks like he's 30-something.
So he's actually a cop.
I thought it was a narc, yeah.
Well, a lot of them, you know, look older, but that's TV teenagers. But what I did like, I liked the relationship between her and her mom. I wish they had
done something,
it.
Yeah.
You know, I did particularly like the one thing I did like about the Lady Gaga episode was their duet.
That was fantastic.
I thought that was a really telling song, and it had a lot of heart to it. I liked the new rendition.
This week's songs were actually pretty good. Mercedes got served a little bit with her whole "I know how to do funk and you don't," and her funk song was okay.
Yeah.
It didn't have a lot of heart to it. And what's the pregnant girl's name? Finn. No, is her name not Finn?
Quinn.
Yes, her song had emotion to it.
It had soul in it.
Yeah, and I was actually really impressed that they showed the difference between surface soul and real emotion and all of that. And I thought that was a really good job.
And I like that they made the distinction. You know, the white guy in the show makes the distinction between funk
and
rap. Because just because your name is Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch doesn't mean you're funky.
Right, right. So I enjoyed the songs more this week because that was my problem last week.
Well, I like funk too, so
yeah.
That helps.
So the Lady Gaga didn't work for me last week, so I was really happy that they went on at a different angle this week. Any more comments on Glee before we move on?
No. It's just nice to have original programming.
Yeah. Yeah. And next week, I think, is sectionals, or is it regionals?
Regionals.
So next week is the big episode. The only thing I have to say about that is, if they lose, the show's over. You know what I mean? Because they've said that if they lose regionals, there's no more Glee Club.
Right.
So it kind of takes
because there's always, you know, the fight, you know, that could come after. I mean, you know, I'm not a writer. They can always come up with something. So the happy ending, of course, is that they win, but, you know, now with Sue being a judge, that could throw a wrench in the whole thing, so it could at least cause some conflict.
Unless Sue grows a heart.
Like, yeah, I don't think so.
Sue's a judge for them?
Yeah.
She manages to finagle her way onto the judging.
They won't win.
So, well, we don't know who the other judges are, so.
Yeah, but they still won't win.
It doesn't have to be unanimous. Yeah, I mean, I'm okay, you know, I'm fine with the show. I know people have problems with it, but I'm fine with it, and I like now, actually, the past several episodes, they have put more of story back into it, you know, and music is just like a highlight. It's not like, let's sing a song about it. It's more, let's do a little bit of story, let's do a little bit of development here, and then we'll sing a song in an appropriate time.
Yeah, they're doing less mixing of randomly walking down the hall and breaking into song.
Yes.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Let's move on to, we're going to start talking about the show called Good Guys, and it technically premieres on Monday on Fox, but they did a little preview of it.
I think
it.
It's Wednesday. Not to interrupt you, but I think it's Wednesday.
No, it's not. It's up against, it's with Lie to Me.
Oh, really? I thought they were doing it on
Wednesday. Oh, maybe they're both doing it on Wednesdays, but I know it's back to back with Lie to Me.
Yeah, next week. It's coming
right.
Week. Yeah.
Okay, I can have the day wrong. That's what I have a TiVo for. It saved me. But I will admit the only reason that I even gave this show a shot was because of
Bradley Whitford.
Whitford.
Of course. That's the only reason I watched it, because of Bradley Whitford. I don't care about Colin Hanks, but
I watched it because it's a show by Matt Nix, who does Bird Notice.
Ah, I didn't even notice that.
He's writer, creator, producer.
Well, that would have been enough reason for me to watch it as well.
Yeah.
Because I do love my Bird Notice, but it was fantastic.
I loved it. I totally loved it. It was fun. It was funny. Whitford was great. Hanks? I haven't really seen Hanks in much.
But he's playing the straight guy.
Yeah, but I thought he did a great job.
He's a solid actor.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job. I was impressed. Because, like I said, I had really never seen him in anything before. So, this is pretty much my first outing with him. And I liked it. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it had really good humor. And it was like a weird kind of... Like,
you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Dragnet movie.
With Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd, yes.
In that you got the straight lace and you have the crazy, you know, one. But, you know, better. The Dragnet movie is fun on a cult status because it wasn't a very good movie. However,
no, it's not a good movie.
It reminds me a lot of that with the buddy cop, but with funny. And then, you know,
it's got a
bit
weird
of Life on Mars thrown in there.
That's the thing, is he's like stuck in the 70s.
Yeah, which...
Yeah.
You don't really figure out because you're like, you weren't that old in the 70s.
Yeah, it also reminds me of a show that's like from the 70s. It reminds me of those buddy cop or those detective shows.
But
from the
70s, what's weird is only Bradley Whitford is in the 70s.
Yeah.
Everybody else is in current day.
Exactly.
Like, he's like, what are these newfangled computer things? Like, really?
Well, yeah. So what does your computer machine-y tell you to do? I mean, mm-hmm.
I think it's
just because
his character hates change so much. He tries to stick where in that period that worked best for him.
Right, and I get that, and it's and
except
it makes
you know,
it funny.
You know, based on his age, you're like, in that period, you were about 15. So I'm not seeing how this works, which just makes it funnier.
Yeah, and then the goofy mustache, which he trims very carefully in the morning.
Oh, it's so disgusting, but hilarious.
I'm still not understanding how he's a ladies' man, but it's hilarious.
Well, when he was nice and trim a little younger, he was totally a ladies' man, but now he's just like, but that's the, it makes him a little slimy.
That's his character, though.
Yeah,
like,
and
yeah.
It's also hilarious.
I do love the car. I love, love, love the car, the 1980 Trans Am. And I want one. Totally want one. Not as much as the 67 Impala from Supernatural, but I would take one of those.
I was about to ask you that.
No. That's my dream car right there. Right there. No.
But
I did love it.
Yeah, I long for the days of 9 miles per gallon.
It's not about the mileage. It's about the style.
Yes, as you break down on the highway.
Yeah.
But you look good doing it.
I'm really interested to see where the show is going now because I mean I think the pilot was really good, but
it could be gimmicky.
Well,
there needs to be an ultimate goal here.
Right, there needs to be something like they showed that Hanks really wants to get off the team, and I'm sure the development will be that they actually become friends and he doesn't want to leave him. Mm-hmm. But it felt a little bit contrived considering how much good they did. And by the time the episode's over, they captured like 20 bad guys and got like $4 million. And they're like, yeah, but you also did this wrong and this wrong, so you've actually got a reprimand. And that conversation didn't work. Because I was like doing the math, and I was kind of like, I don't see how they're in trouble. You know,
they broke all these rules.
Well, they broke all these rules. It cost a lot of extra money. And you know, by not doing things correctly, you screw up the prosecution. You know, from watching Law and Order.
Right, except that they very specifically said that that's not what happened.
Yeah.
All the people got arrested.
I think they're just, you know, a little too free and, you know, footloose, fancy free for traditional police, and so that's the problem there.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And I get that.
One character I don't think works very well, I didn't like the DA.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the ex-girlfriend?
The ex-girlfriend DA.
Yeah, she just bugs me.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll grow on me, but
I did like the captain, the lieutenant, though. She was great.
Yeah.
I did like the lieutenant. But, yeah, the DA was kind of like, seemed really out of place to me. Like, didn't, like, that role would be better filled with another actress.
Yeah.
I thought, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't care for her.
It is the pilot. You got to give people a shot.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll give
I mean,
it a
I'll see, you know, hopefully she'll grow on me. But,
yeah, we might learn to like her.
Yeah, some people never grew on me. Like, I never liked Elizabeth Roman Angel. I hated her. She played the detective. That's why they got rid of her.
No, she quit to move to Law and Order.
Yeah, and then they got rid of her there because she was horrible.
really?
She's a horrible actress.
I was always wondering why she left that show.
She left because she got a job on Law and Order.
Yeah, and she was horrible on that too. And believe me, the blogs on Law and Order at the time were like, oh my God, we need to get rid of her.
Well, fortunately for me, I didn't watch that one. But speaking of which, you just reminded me, everyone watch Law & Order UK, which is surprisingly very, very good, because I don't really like the Law & Orders, but the UK version is exceptional.
Well, I'm sure having...
The UK versions are actually the scripts from the first two seasons of Law & Order US.
Yes, but they're done so much better.
No, they're done exactly the same. All they did was change the dialogue to reflect British words.
I swear to God, it's better.
Have you seen the first couple seasons of... Because it literally is shot for shot, everything. It's the same.
But it's Jamie Bamber and Martha Jones.
Thank you. That's actually why I started watching it.
Yeah. No,
but,
I'm not... I mean, I like it. I like it a lot. But it is exactly the same.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. But the British people look better.
there's a reason why Law & Order ran for 20 years. It started out really strong. So.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, I've watched some Law & Order recently. Or
no, but
even
I mean
the first
few years, it was like that.
Didn't they just cancel it? Like,
yes,
finally?
It did.
It just got canceled, and now they're doing
Law & Order,
Order
LA.
LA, yeah.
Lola.
Wow.
Yeah, I really hate that acronym. I really hate it.
Lola.
All right, the next show, let's move on.
Okay.
The next show I want to talk about is In Plain Sight, and from what I heard, none of you guys watch it, which I think is a tragedy. Basically, and for you watch West Wing.
I'm going to now that I know that that one girl from Mary McCormick is on that show. I didn't even know that.
And she's just like the tougher girl version of herself.
On West Wing?
From West Wing.
Because she's fairly tough on West Wing.
Yeah, but
so.
she now carries a gun with a Marshall's little, you know, badge.
So she kind of kicks ass.
Yes.
She's basically a legal bounty hunter.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, not really, because she doesn't really go off and do bounties.
She protects people, but she has that badass thing going.
Yeah, and she does witness protection, and her whole thing is making sure that everybody is safe or whatever. And I have to say, I will warn you, the first season... Everything dealing with her and her partner and her job is pretty good, but what brings the show down in the first part of the first season is her family. Not just her sister, her mom, too.
Yeah.
In the first part of the first season, her family is so annoying that it could make you stop watching the show.
I stopped watching.
Yeah.
I couldn't take it.
My roommate did the same thing. My roommate was like, her family is so annoying, I'm out. But they fixed it. By the end of first season, beginning of second, they fixed the family.
They killed them all? Because that would be awesome.
they actually made them realize how freaking annoying and irresponsible they were.
Oh, that works too.
So they changed them. And it's actually pretty good. And they added another piece of the drama to their family this season, which is really interesting. So they actually made the family life interesting. One thing I never liked is... The boyfriend, she's got this, because they do, of course, she's got a partner.
Uh-huh.
And they do the best friend buddy thing, but he's actually in love with her. And she's like totally freaking clueless.
She looks like she could crush him.
Yes, there is that. But he's a tall guy, but she's got this presence that is kind of like she would crush him.
Yeah.
Like that. But her boyfriend is like this baseball player, a professional baseball player. And they have chemistry when they're having sex or whatever, but in a relationship thing, she totally treats him like complete dirt.
Huh.
And I never understood why he stayed with her. Because she really treated him very badly.
That's a good lay, maybe.
That's pretty much what they insinuate.
Yeah.
And they finally, in this season, resolved my issues with that relationship. And I was like, thank God.
So what season are they on right now?
Third.
Okay.
They're in third season right now.
Just started third.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's been a couple episodes, but third season's pretty strong. And what was great is, I can't remember the name of the actor, but he's a pretty famous actor. He guest stars for one episode, and by the time he gets to the end of the episode, he really likes her and tries to ask her out, and she doesn't get it. Like, he's like, it's like, so, what are you doing later? She's like, working. And he's like, what do you want to bite to eat? She's like, I'm not really hungry. And he keeps doing this, and she's like, totally not getting it. And her partner leans over. He's trying to ask you out. He goes, really? No, he's not. And the guy's like, yes, I am. And she's like, why would you do that?
Oh.
And it's just like, she doesn't get it.
She's you know, she's such a strong, independent woman. She asks out. She does the asking out.
Right.
She's not used to a guy coming, because she's usually the overpowering one.
Right, and she's really intimidating, and she's not used to guys being bold enough to ask her. Her partner, who's known her forever, is terrified of her.
Yes.
He is absolutely in love with her and completely terrified of asking her out. And I think
She'd probably beat him up.
Because she thinks of him as a little brother, actually, mm-hmm. is the problem for him, unfortunately. But what's really great is second season, they did a really good job of showing his side of the relationship and showing how he felt about her and all that. And he actually got to shine on an acting standpoint. Because I thought in the first season, he was kind of the straight guy and he didn't have not as much depth. I think second season, they really filled out his character. Mm-hmm. And I'm really enjoying the show. And even though this last week's episode, I will talk about that real quick. This last week's episode was... It felt like they were very deliberately pulling my emotional strings, and I really did not appreciate it. It was like this woman who was the witness this week was dying of terminal cancer. Mm. And then she didn't get, her case fell through, so they had to like let her go. And then for some reason, Mary became best friends with her. She never becomes friends with any of her people, ever. And for some reason, she decides, okay, now you're my best friend because you're terminal, and I know you're going to die in like... a month or two, so we can become best friends. And she actually says...
She's all heart.
She actually says it, like, in the voiceover. She's wow. like, this person's become my best friend, and she's terminal. That probably means I need some sort of counseling. she at least recognizes it. And then, of course, she dies at the end of the episode, and then Mary gets to cry all over the place, which is rare. She rarely ever cries about anything. So, and she had a good bonding moment with Marshall. And that's the other thing. Her partner, his name is Marshall, and he's a U.S. Marshal. So he's Marshall.
I might watch it just for that reason.
Which is great.
Marshall, put that.
And then they were like, how did you get a name like Marshall and become a Marshal? And he's apparently the third generation U.S. Marshal. And his father named him Marshall to keep him from becoming a Marshal. Because he figured if I name him Marshall, he'll never become a Marshall. And that's what he did.
Well, I'm going to name my kids police and firemen.
And I'm going to name my kids astronaut.
Soldier.
Oil rig worker.
Detective.
Yeah, it was actually... But I mean, Marshall's actually a real name.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, of course. Just fine.
And his name is Marshall Mann. So he's Marshall Mann. And she teases him about it. Constantly.
That's great.
And he's all like, come on, bring it. Come on, you can do better. And they have little jokes, and they have spitball fights with each other, and they do all kinds of stuff.
It sounds cute.
It's cute. It really is.
I have to put it in my queue behind all these other shows I need to watch.
Yes, exactly. But it's a summer show. Like, these are the shows that you pick up when everything else goes off the air.
Everything else is on, yeah.
All right, that's enough of me waxing poetical about that. Let's move on to Justified.
Yes, Justified. What can I say about Justified? You know, I've been watching since the second episode. There's been some rough ones, but overall, I'm liking the characters and stuff. We were talking a little earlier. I love the Boyd character because he's just got these crazy eyes and his his hair is just, you know, flying up in the air, and his, you know, his religious zealot kind of character.
Well, what I like about him is the fact that you don't know if he's really religious or if he's pretending to be religious, or
yes.
if, you know, if he's screwing with everybody.
That's what I love about him. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And then you're like, maybe he just likes blowing stuff up.
I think so. I think he's just decided. I don't like meth, so I'm gonna blow up meth labs and people who who deal meth, but otherwise he's a bad guy.
Well, he's an interesting bad guy because in the last episode, in that last shot, I mean, I was like, well, maybe he is really trying to stop meth from coming into his neighborhood. But then when you see his face when he's watching that trailer burn after he blew it up with the grenade launcher, he's just totally enjoying the fire. So
he's definitely insane. But yeah, I started out the show, you know, and at first I wasn't completely into it, but I really liked Raylan's character, and I really liked Timothy Oliphant as an actor, and so I kind of stuck with it. But then when Boyd showed up and started really shining as an interesting character, that's when I sort of got hooked on the show.
Well, I like Raylan a lot. Raylan is fantastic, and he makes this whole show like the modern-day Western. Which is really great is, like, remember the episode called Hatless where he gets into a bar fight, loses his hat at the beginning of the episode, and does not know how to function for, like, the rest of the episode without his hat.
He keeps trying to take it off every time he walks indoors.
Yeah, and he keeps acting like he's got the hat on, and then he forgets that he doesn't, and he literally has to go back to the bar at the end of the episode to get his hat back and risk fighting this whole bar full of people because he needs his hat. And people were like, dude, buy another hat. He's like, no. I can't buy another hat. I need my hat.
That was one of my favorite episodes, actually. I love when he walks in on the guy and he says, that is a 10-gallon hat on a 20-gallon head. You look ridiculous. Give me the hat.
Yeah, and he's really interesting. And I think that I'm not sure about the whole relationship. They have his ex-wife and then they've got his girlfriend. And apparently he can't decide which one he wants. And apparently his ex-wife can't decide if she wants him or her husband.
Yeah, I had a big issue with that scene where she came over to his hotel room and, like, took off the ring and then cheated on her husband with him. I just felt like it was kind of out of character considering a couple episodes ago when Raylan helped her husband out of the mess that he had gotten into. And she said, you know, even though he's kind of a moron, like, she really loved him and stuff, talking about her current husband. I just thought it was strange and kind of out of character that she would just cheat on him.
Right. I agree. There was no... It didn't feel like there was background for that. Like, there was... Yeah. We didn't see her pining for Raylan.
Exactly.
Or even a shot, like, after he saves the day, of her looking at him like, oh my God, you just saved the day. There was nothing like that. And I just... I didn't quite buy it either. And then, of course, he gets caught by his current girlfriend sleeping with his ex-wife and, you know, calamity and all that. But I do like the Crowders. I like Bo and Boyd, and I can't wait for, it's like Daddy's home. He's about to beat the crap out of his son, which I think is going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, on the next episode, the taste after he blew up the truck, yeah.
Yeah, well, he blew up his father's drugs, and that's not a good thing to do. And I like the fact that now Raylan has to deal with his father, who's a criminal, which is awesome. His father's like this low down, just like, considering he's a marshal, and his father's just like this two-bit criminal. He's not even a particularly good criminal.
Yeah, he's just kind of scum.
Yeah.
He's just kind of a low-life.
Yeah, and I just think that's great. And the fact that they hate each other. And I think was it this week or last week, he said something to his dad, and his father just walked up to him and slapped the crap out of him.
Yeah, and then he said, use your words.
that was really great. But then this week they showed his father actually has some guts. You know, he sits there in the bar with this Marine who's got a grenade, and he tells him the story very calmly. He talks the guy down. Like, I didn't think that his father had it in him.
Which, by the way, I love that the story was complete nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching when he's telling it, and I'm like, this doesn't sound like him. Is he just making this up? And then afterwards, like, yeah, of course, none of it was true.
It's a very good story, though.
Yeah, it was well done.
I think Justified is definitely worth a watch since we're coming up on the finale for first season's next week. But we got renewed for second season, which will next summer.
You just got to be aware. You got to be sort of, you have to prepare yourself for the extremely cliched Southern lingo that they throw into the script. It gets to be a bit much from time to time, but if you can sort of look past this.
Well, are you from the are you from the South?
I'm not, but it seems over the top to me.
Not really.
Not really?
Not really. Especially Kentucky. I've been in Kentucky and decided never to ever go back to Kentucky. That is actually, I think, an honest reaction to being in Kentucky. Because Raylan's whole thing is he grew up in Kentucky and he wanted to leave and never come back. I totally can get behind that. And I grew up in Missouri. So it's kind of like that Southern speak is, it's not entirely exaggerated.
Okay, good to know. Yeah, I'm curious about that.
If they say crisp my grits, then I can't watch.
No, no, they don't say anything like that.
I don't think they go that far.
No, it's nothing like that. It's not like 80s Southern speak.
Yeah, it's not the Hatfields and the McCoys or anything.
No, 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 no. But it's I thought nothing struck me as non-genuine. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just living in the South, you know, people speak different. They speak differently, and you just kind of have to flow with it and figure out what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, so Justified, we're giving that thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Overall.
Right. Let's move on to Burn Notice. This week was the premiere, the season 4 premiere of Burn Notice, and I know, Brian, you've watched the original pilot.
And a few episodes of season 1, yeah.
And then you watched premiere, so what'd you think?
It was kind of all over the place.
Okay.
It, like, jumped everywhere, I thought. I mean, it took me a while to kind of get into it because it was jumping all over the place. But once I got into it, I was kind of enjoying it. But at first, I was like, what the heck is all this? What's going on?
What do you mean by jumping all over the place?
Well, you know, he's in... I guess it was the flashback or whatever, but he's in jail. He's out of jail. He's helping this guy who is this...
Well, he wasn't actually in jail.
Or something like that.
Right.
He was in some kind of...
Holding area.
Then he helps them, but he gets back with the ex-girlfriend and Bruce Campbell, and he's helping them, but he still has to help the other guy. It's just all over.
But that's kind of how Burn Notice is, you know? It's like...
Really?
Yeah.
There's always two things. There's always a story. There's a story of the task he has, the client, and then there's always the story of him trying to figure out his Burn Notice, and then there's always the family story. So there's always three things going on in every episode.
Okay, yeah, it just felt like I was being bounced around a lot.
It's because you haven't seen, you know, because this really wrapped up the last season, so.
I did not like that guy Simon was also the bad guy in Life.
Oh, yeah, he's the bad guy on everything.
He's the bad guy on a ton of crap.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, it's the guy from Life.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it once I started, like, I started feeling like I wasn't being bounced around like a pinball.
It's hard to start in on season 4. I mean, you can still enjoy it and everything, but
yeah.
You really do need to know what happened in season 3.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was watching it, and it took me a while, but I did start enjoying it maybe halfway through once I started feeling like, you know, I was stabilizing in my brain.
Well, and I think getting back to Miami helped, and it was a interesting and emotional episode, too, because I really did love that scene with his mom where he felt like he was going to become... Simon, I thought that was a really good scene. And of course, he you know, his voiceover, he's talking about how different people deal with people being away different ways. And I was like, of course Fiona's going to hit him, because that's Fiona. And I actually thought it's hilarious that they had a case, and he had no idea what was going on.
He's like, I have a gun, and I don't know what's going on. Yeah, that was funny.
The best part, he's like, you know, so who's this guy again?
After he risked his life.
He risked his life of being murdered in cold blood by, you know, a biker gang. Then he's like, who was I saving? I don't know. What's going on? I'm not really sure.
But, I mean, it also shows the level of trust that he has for his guys, because he just assumed, you know, that this guy's at least worth saving because they're defending him.
Yeah.
So
what I thought about was interesting about the whole thing was that you could really see the difference in between the jobs when Michael runs a job and when someone else runs a job.
That's true.
When Michael runs a job, you don't end up, you know, having to join a biker gang and getting a tattoo on your arm for the rest of your life. He might have some where he tells you you need to go live in Minnesota forever, but he never has anything where you have such a drastic life change, you know, because he tries to leave people cleaner.
Right,
you know,
they get away clean.
Whereas, you know, with Fiona, it's like, I got you out. It doesn't matter how I got you out.
Well, also, his cases don't degenerate into gunfights usually as quickly. Like, it's not like when he's doing the Burn Notice, yes, there's gunfights and stuff. But when he's dealing with a case, he likes to stay away from guns.
He tries to, but, I mean, I think it's more just, you know, it doesn't end up usually being so, having such a permanent... a permanent change on the client.
Right.
You know, where...
he had to join the gang at the end of it.
Join a gang and get a giant tattoo on his arm and...
You can hide it with a sleeve.
Yeah, that because that'll work when you're at the pool in Miami. But, you know, it's Fiona is just like, it doesn't matter how I got you out. Doesn't matter that you had to change the rest of your life, whatever. I got you out, right?
Yeah, whereas Fiona's not the brains of the organization.
Well, no, Fiona just is more concerned with end result. She's not concerned with the finer details like preserving their quality of life.
Right.
She's concerned with preserving their life.
There was one thing I didn't like about the episode.
What was that?
Not enough Michael Ironside.
Michael Ironside. Oh, he got killed like in the first five seconds.
He was like there for like half a minute and then he dies. I'm like, wait a minute.
The best part about that.
I love Michael Ironside.
No, but the best part about all of that is that his name didn't even appear into the credits till he was already dead.
Yeah. Just started Michael Ironside, I'm like, no, really?
That was the best part.
That was pretty good.
And that's actually, it wasn't even like he was from last season. It's like, this is the first time we saw him, and he's dead.
But, yeah.
Oh, come on.
I thought that was
He was just
great.
On Castle, too, I think, wasn't he?
I don't
remember.
He was just on another show.
What I also loved is that you could also see that, you know, in order to fake South America, they clearly just put up a tent and some palm trees
and call it
South America.
Yeah. Well, they are in Florida,
yeah,
so you can
they already
it.
Had the humidity and everything going. It's like, let's just put up a tent to hide the Miami facade and we're good.
Yeah, I always find that to be cheesy.
Yeah, but it, you know, hey, it works.
And I'm...
It allows for more money for explosions.
I forgot the actor's name. I'm calling him Uriel, and I know that's not right. The guy...
Oh, was that Uriel?
Yeah.
I thought that was Uriel.
What are you talking about?
We're naming him from his Supernatural
character. He was young Uriel.
No, he wasn't young. He was the Uriel.
He was the Uriel?
Okay,
yeah,
who are you talking
Uriel.
About? We're still talking about Vernon.
The black guy...
The black guy that got
shot
in
the
arm. He was Uriel on Supernatural?
What black guy got shot in the arm?
The one at the beginning that they were... In the same scene that was supposed to be South America, they're running away from the explosion and he gets shot. And he has a sling on for the rest of the episode.
You mean the one working for the company?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, he was Uriel in Supernatural.
Right. Okay. Well, he lost a little weight. But
oh, that's why. Okay, I thought he was the young version.
No, he's just the same
just
guy.
Lost a lot
he
of
just,
weight.
Well, he, I don't know about a lot, but he lost some weight.
He looked a lot less chunkier in this than he did. And he was kind of on Supernatural.
But I was like, oh, at least he's still working. So I like
he's
that.
Great. He was great as you're on Supernatural, so I can imagine him still getting work. He was great.
So I still said I was just happy. And I thought the team worked well together once they all got back together. And they all got into their regular positions of what they're supposed to be doing.
I got the impression it was a total mess before he showed back up.
Well, right. Because it was run by Fiona.
Well, the problem was it wasn't actually just run by Fee. It was run by Fee and Sam working at opposing ends of how to do something because they never
agree. They need Michael as a balancing
force. I kind of get the feeling I'd rather have an operation run by Sam than Fiona. I don't know why.
Sam's a little smarter.
Sam is smart, but he's lazy.
Right.
Unless you give him a task, he will not do it.
He'll sit around and drink beers until you tell him to do something.
Yeah, and he'll do things at the last minute and hope that Michael will come and save him. So Sam is not the best... Sam is not a leader.
Yeah.
No.
You know, Fiona will take charge and lead in her own way. However, if you had a choice, you would always choose Michael.
Yes, definitely.
Michael leads with his head and Fiona more with her heart. But
well, more like with a gun than her mind.
Yeah, well, with her inner rage heart. In a rage-filled heart, yes. Because Fiona likes to hit things and smash things and shoot things. And
oh, I know
she's
what I was
awesome.
Going to ask. What do you think about the end where he burns that other guy?
That seems pretty important.
It's going to be.
Because he's a new cast member.
Yeah.
He's not a guest star. He's a cast member.
Because Michael, of course, because the whole point is that Michael got burned. And he's been spending all these years trying to get
basically
unburned.
Basically ruined his life.
And it ruined his life.
And
now
he's
ruined somebody else's life and he feels guilty.
Yeah, because he has a conscience.
That seemed pretty significant.
Yeah. Because if someone like Fiona had burned him, she'd be like, oh well, part of the game.
I will say it was good enough that it made me set to record the whole season.
Oh, excellent.
So I'm going to start watching it. And I'll probably have to acquire... Seasons 1 through 3.
Acquire legally so these actors and producers can get paid
and produce
more shows.
Of course.
Or I can just loan you my DVDs.
Oh, you have them?
Yes, but they're actually out on loan. When I get them back. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah. Anyway, let's...
It's a good show. If you haven't checked it out, you should definitely try it.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun and a lot of humor. lot of humor.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I did like his voiceovers a lot.
His voiceovers are great.
Yeah.
I also like Ask a Spy. That's always fun.
Yeah, they have
That's
those
on the USA site. They have this little segment called Ask a Spy, mm-hmm. and he gives you advice on how to do different things.
Oh, that's
funny.
It's
pretty
funny. You have a noisy neighbor. He tells you how to deal with a noisy neighbor in his own spy fashion, which
is fantastic.
Is mostly legal.
So that show is fun. All right, Steve, you wanted to give us a rundown on Friday Night Lights?
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, I won't necessarily spoil the plot for anybody. I know some people are behind on it, but I just wanted to say real quickly that this season's been really strong so far, and I think this show in general, they do a really good job sort of staging the drama and making it feel genuine, and just overall, I just think it's a really strong show, and I think it's kind of underrated, and people have sort of forgotten about it because it disappeared off of normal networks for a while. It was just on, what was it, DirecTV?
It's still on DirecTV.
Yeah, but it's like it airs on Direct. The way they're paying for the show is it airs on DirecTV first.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then once it finishes, it gets to be aired on NBC, which is why NBC is airing it so late.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody's already seen this season who has DirecTV.
Right. Well, I don't have DirecTV.
But you have to get DirecTV just for the show. But yeah, the new season, the fifth season, starts in the fall, and then NBC will pick it up again late spring.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. Which, I mean, I'm glad whatever they have to do to keep the show on the air is fine, because I know when I first heard about Friday Night Lights, I was like, I don't want to watch a show about football. And it's not.
Yeah, it's not football, really. I mean, there is football.
It is, because there's football. But it's more about the drama that goes on in these people's lives, and it's fantastic. And I will have to say one of my favorite things is I like saying, get her done. That's now one of my new catchphrases. And I love, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Yep.
Like, I want that on something. Like, I need a t-shirt, because I totally love that. So those kind of things, like, I swear when they do that in the, when they say that little chant in the locker room, it gives me chills, like, every single time they do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so that's a unique thing they have going about the show, and because it's kind of fallen off the radar, I agree with you, it's fallen off the radar, and people have started to forget about it, and
NBC has been trying really hard to promote this current spring season. They are running promo ads all the time during all of their shows.
I need to check the ratings and see what the ratings are like. I mean, I know they already got renewed for another season.
Next season is likely to be its last.
And I think that's good. Five seasons and out, that's not bad.
Like, what they're doing is they're already bringing back characters who have left, and they're going to be featured in the fifth season. So that's what they're planning.
That's good.
So it seems like a fitting finale. Like, they're really trying to wrap things up.
That's good.
Yeah, and I think that's very appropriate for the show, and especially because you really do begin to care about these characters so much, you know? And they do. I mean, like I said, it's not all about football. You have to be able to at least sit through 5 minutes of a football game. But it's more about what's going on with the players and their heads, and he's trying to get them to go to college. And as I'm describing it, it almost sounds cheesy, but it's really not. It's really moving, and they deal with serious issues. So,
except for that trip to Mexico,
which was weird.
That was sort of a one-off, though. I felt like that was like one of those where they didn't want to move the story forward so much, so they just needed like a one-off kind of episode, which, you know, other shows do as well, and they're usually the weakest episodes.
Right.
You know.
All right, so let's move on to Stargate Universe, which was part one of the two-part season finale.
And it was awesome. it was fantastic. It was extremely suspenseful and dramatic. Just real quick. I mean, at the beginning of the episode, Young literally lets Telford die.
That was great.
That was amazing. I was sitting there like, is he actually letting him die? I don't understand what he's doing. He's killing Rush and Telford, and then, you know, he sort of pauses with his very stoic face and waits a couple seconds. Okay, let the air back in, and then go and revive him.
Well, I saw a hole in that plan, which is, what if he couldn't revive him? That was
exactly. And then the two guys are dead. Which and that night, I feel like I watched enough Stargate back in the day to know this, but I never heard about that being a technique to release the person from the brainwashing, was to let them die and then bring them back.
I think it, because I remember Tilt got brainwashed like that. Or no, Tilt got brainwashed by the Gould.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same, but I thought they said it was a Gould brainwashing technique.
Yeah. Because
I remember, and O'Neill ended up shooting him and killing him. No, he shot him, and then they had to tie him down, and they had to take out, they took out his Gould, and they let him die.
That did, you're absolutely right. They did actually do that, yeah.
Yeah, so that is the tried and true technique of releasing the brainwashing. But that did seem a little bit risky to me.
Yeah.
But my main complaint, if you've listened to the podcast, my main complaint about Stargate Universe is they don't kill anybody. And this week, apparently, they heard me.
Yeah.
So it was like bodies dropping all over the place. It was fantastic. I was like, ah!
Oh, yeah.
Though
the battle with the Revolution Alliance
though I
cuts
actually,
through the Stargate.
Right. The only problem I had was I did not buy that he didn't take out the air. Because even if he doesn't kill them, by taking out the air, once they pass out, he could just capture everybody. He didn't need to kill them all. He could have taken out the air until they pass out, set the air back in, they come in, grab everybody. People are at least down. You know, they're not going to have a really... And if they do have to fight, you know, a couple of them might be able to grab their guns in time, but not. It wouldn't have been anywhere near as catastrophic as it was without taking out the air. I thought that was stupid. I still think it's stupid. I think he should still take out the air, knock them out, and except that at this point they have hostages, and as soon as they notice that the air is leaving, they kill the hostages.
Well, I think he's going to. That was the end of the episode where Rush is sort of reasoning with them and saying, you know, you can't bargain with them. You can't give them the medical supplies and things. You're just making it worse. You just have to act now. And then at the end, Young's like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah, but I don't see a good plan. I don't see he doesn't have a plan in place. And he's, of course, vulnerable because TJ's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that TJ being a hostage is making him not think clearly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's... When I saw her get captured, it was sort of like, okay, that's going to complicate the situation. Because normally he is very logical, and he could sacrifice some people for the greater good. But he has obviously a personal and emotional connection with this woman who was carrying his child, and whom he carried on a relationship with for however long it was. So it definitely complicates the situation.
Right.
So I did love seeing... all the cameos from the Stargate SG-1 series with, you know, Samantha and then of course Dr. Jackson on the little video that Eli was watching and now General O'Neill. I'm just waiting for Teal'c to make an appearance at some point on this season. I'll be happy.
Yeah, they did do lots of cameos. It was all pretty good.
Yeah.
At first I thought that when they showed Carter that it was just like a stock footage shot, because it was just like the
yeah.
side of her head, and I was like, oh, they stole that from somewhere, but then she actually had a scene, and I was like, oh, they
yeah.
really got her.
They photoshopped the that other show that she's on, and
yeah, that other show that we
let's
won't
not
talk
about that.
Yeah, we're not
going to
talk about that show.
No.
That makes
I don't think
me
that
sad.
Show exists.
I heard it's awful.
Oh, it really is. But I was really happy. It was a good part one of the season one finale. I think it's ending really well and really exciting. The only thing is, I suppose, if you kill too many people, then you have to explain how you get more people. Because I don't think they started off with, like, what, 40 people?
Yeah.
So you really can't lose that many, but I think you have to lose a couple to show that the stakes are high.
Yeah, well, and now that people were able to figure out how to gate onto the ship, maybe at some point they can do it again.
And yeah, and actually, yeah, but they blew up a planet to do that, though.
Well, there's other planets.
You know, it'll be like Lost, where all of a sudden, oh wait, there was the other half of the plane.
Exactly. That's another one.
Oh god.
So, I'm just glad that they didn't leave anybody on a stinking planet like they did four other episodes
yes.
at the beginning of the season and then the other finale. I'm like, oh, thank God, at least everybody's on the ship.
Yeah, that's true. And I do with Eli and Chloe.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like what's going on with them, even though they're stranded on some random portion of the ship that nobody knows. I'm waiting for them to just run into the bad guys, because they obviously have no clue where they are.
Yeah.
But I think that's pretty interesting. I think the finale so far is very, very interesting. And
yeah.
I like the fact that Rush is all mad at Young for leaving him and the other body, that he could have just switched the stones and been done.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why he didn't switch the stones once they did the, they finished the, they unbrainwashed, they de-brainwashed.
Deprogrammed.
Thank you. I was like, what's the word for that? Once they deprogrammed Telford, I didn't understand why he didn't just switch the stones, because he totally should have done it then. And it felt kind of false that he didn't. It felt like he did that. They felt like they did that in order for Rush to be angry.
Yeah, maybe, because especially because they didn't really know where Rush was, right? Because they just lost contact with him.
Right, and he could have he could have been in serious danger, and they didn't know. Yeah. And he should. I understood why he kept Telford in order to take off the brainwashing. That made sense. But once that was done, he should have just switched the stones.
Yeah.
So, I felt that was a cheat.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I do like that now that he has been deprogrammed, sort of, Young can have an ally that's a similar rank, maybe, on the ship. Now that he physically is on the ship, it could be interesting.
All right. Okay, that's, I think that's about it for Stargate Universe. All right, let's talk about Doctor Who. Last week we discussed Amy's Choice because we were off slightly. But this week we're going to talk about Amy's Choice with a whole new group of people who are... I wanted a different kind of perspective because I felt like last week we were a little bit negative. Even though I will say I personally didn't like Amy's Choice that much, but I did feel like the discussion ran more negative than I would have liked. So, and I wanted a different side of the conversation. So.
Well, Amy is annoying the crap out of me more and more with every episode.
Positive.
Well, no, but besides that.
No.
I thought it was a very strong episode. I loved Rory in it. He was great. The Doctor was great. I loved, like, when he says only one person in the universe hates me that much, I was like, oh, crap.
I didn't actually realize who he meant at first, but then once you find out who he meant, it's like, of course, I know the Doctor hates himself.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. He never talks about that, but yeah, he
it's
totally
It's very
is.
Obvious. Yeah.
It's very obvious.
That's why he can't be alone.
Yes, yeah. That's also a very good point, because he starts getting in his own head and he just loses it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What did you think?
It was fine. I like that they finally made it clear that no matter what happens, Amy does love Rory. Because it's always been ambiguous from the beginning. And you're kind of like, oh, is it going to turn out to be another one where she's going to throw away everything for the Doctor? But no, actually, she really loves a real guy, a real human guy, who just, all he wants to do is be with her wherever she is. And so it's nice to see that, yet, you know, Rory still understands Amy needs a little bit of excitement. And so this is their excitement, you know, before they settle down into whatever kind of, you know, type of normal they have. It's like she's like, she understands that, you know what, Rory is really at the end of the day what I really want. Mm-hmm. The Doctor is fun, but you know, Rory's what's going to be for me.
Only thing I have to say about that is, on paper, in the scripts, that's exactly what they say. When you watch it on the show, that's not exactly what I got.
I'm not fully convinced either.
I mean, I totally believe that Rory is absolutely in love with her.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, totally.
You are still a little bit ambiguous about Amy. However, you're seeing that she's realizing the Doctor is really not.
Well, the Doctor's
forever.
Right, and the Doctor's fallible. But I really do feel like Amy is settling for Rory, and she doesn't love him anywhere near as much as he loves her. I mean, I think she might realize that she has to settle down at some point, and he loves her absolutely, but it's not the same. It's not equal at all. And so that's what bothers me a little bit about it.
Yeah, it does bother me too. But moving on from that, the guy who played, the Dream Lord?
Yeah.
He was awesome.
He's creepy.
I loved him. I think I've seen him in a few other British shows here and there.
Right.
But he was fantastic. I totally adored him. Totally adored him. I just love the switch. Like, is this real? Is that real? Is this real? Is that real?
I like little birdies. That was pretty good. I like that being the cue. And, oh, the best transition that they've done in a while. As much as I talk about it, I said I didn't like this episode. One of the best transitions was the scene where Rory and Amy are hiding out in the house. And they're like, oh, we left the Doctor. It's like, oh, the Doctor will be fine. He's brilliant. He's always thinking on his feet. He's great. And then they cut to the scene of the Doctor running around the street flailing his arms, looking like a complete idiot. And that was a great... And the thing I have to say about Matt Smith was, That scene was pulled off brilliantly, and I actually can't imagine Tennant attempting to do that at all.
No, this Doctor is written for him.
Right.
And that's, I think that's been the strength of the past, of this new revival, is that the roles are written for the actor. It's not just someone else can come in and play that.
Right.
It really is tailored to them.
Right.
You know, I really like the scene where they first get in the town, and all three are sitting on the bench, and the Doctor clearly is completely bored out of his mind. He can't stop fidgeting and shaking and everything.
Exactly.
And these two are sitting there, picture of calm, and you know, and then the truth comes out in what they're saying. You know, so how do you prevent yourself from being bored, self harm? You know, because I want to kill myself. I can't stand it. This place is too quiet. You know.
Yeah.
So I just that is, you know, the essence of Matt Smith to me is he is that quirky, fidgety guy who just, he likes the running bits, you know?
Well, I mean, Tennant's character was the same.
He wasn't as fidgety.
No.
He wasn't as fidgety.
And he fidgeted, but I get what you're saying.
Tennant was more spastic, but...
Yeah.
I was like, spastic and is kind of similar, but I understand what you're saying. They're emphasizing that more, though I do find it ironic that he's, for a Time Lord, he's always checking his watch. I'm like... Don't you know what time it is? He knows what time it is. Because
I think that's for our benefit.
No, but I mean, as a Time Lord, they're very specific about he can sense what time it is all the time, which is why he doesn't need a watch. Yet this Doctor is always looking at his watch. Like, he's like, okay, we gotta keep going, because I'm looking at my watch, we gotta go. You know, so that kind of feels like leading into that little bit of the character.
Well, they might have something to reveal with that, because this whole universe that they're flying around in doesn't feel quite right.
Yeah, we still don't really know that whole crack thing, so...
Yes, there's crack in
that,
time.
That could all lead up to something, we don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
the watch might have something to do with that.
Yeah, that might be one of the few things that they're not hitting us over the head with, you know.
I just noticed it because I don't remember another Time Lord because they.
I don't remember one wearing a watch.
Right, that's when I can't remember one wearing a watch because they're very specific about Time Lord can get out of the TARDIS, kind of sense like okay we're in whatever. He always knows what time it is. You know because that's
maybe the watch does something else. Maybe the watch gives him like status of the TARDIS or something like that.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Just because something's on your wrist doesn't mean it's a real watch.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That's true. I just noticed it and was like, why is he always looking at
I mean,
his
it
watch?
May be a thing that keeps track of the crack. You know?
Yeah.
Well, that would be weird because he had it before he knew about the crack.
I don't know. I'm just certain.
We don't know. It's
guessing.
A Time Lord thing.
Well, that's fine. I just said I noticed
it
and I'm bringing it up.
Look what a pocket watch does with a Time Lord. I mean,
so
it might be something.
That's true.
He's not going, it's 12:06, he's not.
But even though this
right.
season has been uneven in a lot of ways, like we've had some fantastic episodes and we've had some crap episodes.
Right.
I love Matt Smith.
Oh, I do too.
I think he is
a fantastic new Doctor, and I agree with you about Amy. I want her to be gone by the end of the season.
I like Amy.
I kind of have a feeling she will be.
I like him.
I have a hunch about that.
I think she's funny. I think she's very funny.
I think she tries to be funny. I never laugh.
No, I like her.
I think she tries a little too hard to be cute and smart.
Yes.
And it feels
like she's trying versus actually achieving.
It doesn't feel as natural as Smith's Doctor to me.
Yeah,
you know.
Smith,
I'm totally convinced. Totally convinced.
He is the Doctor.
Amy, not 100% convinced.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That's
I still like her.
I mean, I like her.
Yeah.
She's a fun character, but there's just something a little that I can't, you know, like, can't fully be on board with her.
Yeah.
But that's it. I mean, but the Amy's Choice episode was pretty darn great, I think. I liked it a lot. I thought it was one of the stronger episodes of the season. Not the strongest, obviously.
I'm liking Rory more.
I like Rory.
I like Rory a lot more than Amy. I will be honest with you.
I'm liking him more, you know, now that he's actually traveling with him. That they're developing him a little bit.
I actually would rather him be the companion.
I think he'd be too scared. He's too meek.
He's not. I like the fact that he goes up to the Doctor, tells the Doctor what he's talking BS.
He does that,
but he's not one for saying, let's go here. He's just like, let's go home. You know, so he's not adventurous.
That's true.
You need the Amy part because she's adventurous and she doesn't think and she just goes. You know, she's more like the Doctor in that way. She's like, let's just go. Consequences be damned. You know, and that's why you have Rory to balance him.
Yeah, you do have to have that mentality to hang with the Doctor.
He doesn't. You know, he's more like, you know, how like Mickey was in the beginning, where it's like, let's just go home. I can step it up when I need to, but I really just rather be home.
Well, the thing is, I think he's a much stronger character at the beginning than Mickey ever. Mickey becomes an awesome character.
Oh, yeah.
But I think Rory has started off as a much stronger character.
Yeah,
I think
they learn from Mickey.
Yeah,
you know,
I hope so.
No, I still like Mickey, but I definitely like him more. I like him on the TARDIS, whereas, you know, sometimes when you put more than one person on the TARDIS, you're like, really? Can one of you just go away? But I think the combination of Rory and Amy make a good team with the Doctor.
I agree.
And I like how the Doctor brought him on board.
Yeah.
To try and cement their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah.
Because he learned from Martha.
Yeah.
Yeah, though he didn't give Amy the pre-speech, which he should have.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we'll be having no mating happening on my ship. But, yeah, I think that this season...
It's fun. I mean, it's not as... To me, it's not as compelling as the Tenet years. However, I do enjoy it.
I think it needs time to build up to that, though.
Yeah.
Because the first Tenet season wasn't insanely compelling.
Well,
It was fairly compelling, but it was, to me, it was kind of good until the very end. Then it was, like, really compelling. But until then, it was kind of...
See, I loved all of it.
Season 2 is pretty good.
Yeah,
it was good. I'm not saying it wasn't good. It's just, I wasn't fully on board until the very end.
Yeah, no, I was, it caught me from the beginning. So.
Okay.
Steve, are we convincing you at all to watch this show?
I'm so far behind on Doctor Who, I have no idea where I would even start.
Well, it's all, first of all, it's all on Netflix Instant. There you go.
Yeah.
They have,
only on the fifth season.
Yeah.
And
there's only 13 episodes per season.
Heck, you could just start with this season if
you want to
and see if you like
it. No, don't do that.
Honestly,
it's a new Doctor, so.
Yeah, but really,
yeah,
it's like we're on the third season, really, because there's only 13 episodes per season.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, and everything is on Netflix Instant. From season one all the way on.
And they're very fast watches.
They really are. They fly by.
Yeah.
I will warn you, season one's a little...
It's different. I love season one.
I love season one now. I just remember when I originally watched it, I had problems with some of the... First of all, because Steve does special effects, he's going to have some problems with the special effects.
Steve, the special effects on Doctor Who are notoriously cheesy. They've always been cheesy.
But the thing with me is, you know... I grew up thinking, you know, original Battlestar Galactica was the greatest thing ever. So
right?
I obviously have no problem with special effects.
I know, but I'm trying to explain it to Steve, who does. And what I'm trying to say is they didn't have a budget in season one, and so the special effects are pretty bad. But as the show becomes more successful, they get a bigger and bigger budget, and so the effects get better. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Fair enough. As long as it's better than the old ones I used to watch.
Oh, yes. It is. It definitely.
Miles above.
But
the thing is... Because that was like a stage play with like...
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, the show...
The same hallways
at the end of the day, the show isn't really about the special effects. Those are just sort of little punches.
That's true. But I swear, though, when the monster is so goofy, you can't help but laugh. It's not scary.
But it is a children's show.
Yeah.
It is a children's show. So I don't think it's supposed to be that scary.
What are you talking about? This show has become one of the scariest shows.
But it's still
it's a children's show.
Yes,
children's
I know.
Show.
And they're deliberately trying to terrify children.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Yeah,
but to terrify a kid is a lot different than to terrify an adult.
Exactly. And
I was totally terrified by a couple episodes.
Having grown up on Japanese shows in the 70s, were filmed in the 60s and 70s, with literally the guy in the giant dinosaur suit, that to me was scary.
Yeah.
So when I was 5, it terrified me.
Yeah.
That's true. But I was just trying to give Steve a warning.
Thank you. Appreciate the warning.
So that you keep that in mind, the effects will get better.
Yeah.
Because
it's all about the story.
If the story and acting is good, I can.
I think Eccleston is a great actor.
He's a wonderful actor.
For season one, and then Tennant is even better. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll be fine.
Eccleston's Doctor. That was the whole journey of his doctors, that Eccleston played him dark, and I enjoyed that very much.
I loved it.
Yeah. And then he becomes a little lighter with the darkness kind of hiding behind his eyes.
The doctor's always dark, but he does have more fun later.
Yeah.
So. It's a good journey.
Yeah, so, you know, check it out. That's all I'm going to say.
Do any of them wear giant scarves?
No. Though he does... When he's changing, when he's picking out his outfit, there's this moment where he looks at a scarf and he's like, nah.
Yeah. Well, see, what grabbed me first with the Eccleston series is Eccleston is sexy doctor. He comes out in a black leather jacket and some black tight jeans. Yeah. I mean, he looks hot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is Doctor Who.
and
who is this doctor?
I agree with that. And then they stepped it up with Tennant, who wears a suit that's one size too small for him.
Yeah.
So if the man bends to the side slightly, you're just like, oh. So they really were hitting the sexiness of the Doctor in the first couple of seasons, and I really, well, the first two those two Doctors, and I think that really worked because they got a lot more women to watch the show, because normally Doctor Who is all guys that watch the show.
And
now
yeah,
it feels
and,
like
and,
it's
well,
more
because
women.
The Doctors were like old, all old, crusty old, you know, quirky men or just
yeah.
zero sex appeal, and literally, Eccleston shows up with the leather jacket, tight jeans, and you're like, yeah, I'd go in a small blue box with this man. I don't know him, but okay.
Yes, that does explain how he picks up his women.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that's the wrap-up for this week. Anybody have any last comments?
I'm excited for the new summer shows. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if any of them will be good, but I'm excited for the return of Psych in July.
Mm-hmm.
And ABC also has a new Supernatural-themed show called, I think it's Gates, or something about a...
It's called The Gates.
The Gates, yeah, about a community, and apparently there's vampires in it, so I'm looking forward to that.
Mm.
And they're still running Happy Town, which I think was canceled,
it was
I'm not
canceled.
Sure. Yeah, but, you know, for what it is, I'll enjoy it. It's new programming, I'm all about new programming.
Yeah, can't wait for The Closer, can't wait for Eureka, you know.
Yeah,
very
so
excited.
Lots of new summer shows, it looks promising.
Yeah.
All right, and with that, I believe we are out. If you have any comments, send them to tvcampfire@gmail.com, and I'll check you guys next week.
Bye.